Hey, everybody. This is Easy's Twitter show, Solana Made Easy. In this episode, we recap NFT NYC, considering Easy was off last week with the show. We talk about how Shillin Villain was at NFT NYC, but didn't say hi to anybody, but still showed up at all the events. And we also talk about the different action going on in the Solana market right now. There's definitely been some pumps. So definitely a good show if you're into Solana. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code the Nifty on your FTX mobile app.
What is going on? Back after a full week hiatus, Solana Made Easy. We got a ton to talk about. All the salamis, all the salamas, all the Solanos, you name it, it went on. Ton of stuff happening last week. NFT NYC, definitely curious to kind of hear some people's thoughts, how they enjoyed it, what they felt with everything, what they went to, what they didn't go to, who they met, who they ignored, all the fun stuff, you know? On top of it, we got the Solana phone. I'm hyped to hear some more conversation around this. I know I've had some conversations and some responses with Alpha Saiyan on some of the SMS stuff, some of the Saga Pay, and some of the other key added things there. That, I mean, I know we definitely got to talk about the market. What's been moving, projects that are picking up, new meta potentially, what's been going on? Wanted to first pass it over to Pio and Running Man, though. Pio, how's the new apartment?
Oh, it's good, man. You know, I'm surprised that Shillin Villain Alexander 42 showed up today. Not gonna lie, his performance at NFT NYC was next level. So I didn't know if he was just gonna
nowhere at the same time.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if he just deleted the account and just disappeared forever. I feel like that would have been like a pretty solid exit. But yeah, happy to be here. Going to be fun to do another week of Solana Made Easy here.
No, it's got a lot to talk about. It's going to be good. Running Man, how are you?
Isaac, you're easy. Have you recovered yet? You feeling better?
Yeah, man. I'm good to go. I'm alive and well.
Yeah, but while everybody from Nifty and everybody else was having fun in New York, some of us had to stay behind and hold it down in Nifty Discord and, you know, steer the ship all week. We had from last Friday's show, if you'd have listened to the alpha at the end, I mean, we had DGen boy Dow went 5x. We had Bag Beaver, went from 1.25 to 4. Crypto Cowboy, Udder Chaos, Art, and a few others. And Saturday was like a 40-soul day for me. Anybody that had been on them plays that had done that because, yeah, we just keep bringing the alpha daily. So, looking forward to see what's coming this show.
Yeah, and I'm definitely excited to hear some people's thoughts, what they felt about the market. But I think we got to first kind of talk about NFT NYC. I think the first thing I got to kind of ask about, Pio, was there much last year that was Solana-focused? Have you even heard of anything? Or was this kind of the first year that there was kind of competing events? I'm not sure if you even had much insight into it. Probably a better question for someone who may have been there last year as well. That's more Sol focused, but I'm curious if you had heard anything from last year that was a Sol kind of event.
Well, this is a serious question. When did Solana NFTs like actually emerge as, you know, something that people were doing? Because I remember
August, right around start of August was SMBs. Before that was DGen Apes. Before that there was, I believe, Sol Punks back in mid-June. I think someone probably could correct me on that, but I think those are the three. So it was right around the summer, about a month and a half after Apes minted.
Yeah, I don't really remember, you know, like notable Solana action. I definitely wasn't paying attention to it. That was the end of October. It was right after Halloween. It was like, I think Halloween actually technically was one of the days of NFT NYC because people were saying that people dressed up on the Bored Ape Yacht Club yacht party. So at that time, I mean, it definitely wasn't on my radar in a big way. I feel like you were already making a name for yourself in Solana, but I don't really remember events that were Solana focused that I was aware of, but I'm probably not the best person to ask.
Running Man, what's going on?
Yeah, obviously, I think it was it August? It was just in Nifty Solana Discord. It was just me and you.
And it was
you, me, and MK Ultra. Ultra was in there. Yeah, there's like three of us. In my opinion, we're moving forward in a big way. And I'm not going to throw any shade on ETH because I started on ETH, but if the next bull run doesn't come to Solana in a big way, and then the next time volume comes into these markets, if it doesn't appear on Solana, I'll be very, very surprised in my personal opinion.
I mean, I think that was probably the clearest takeaway I had from the events. Like, it was just so good to see all these people who were just so excited to interact and be part of the communities. Like, it was awesome. Like, the boat party was insane just to see how many people were so excited to be there regardless of price. I mean, we're seeing articles from, like, TechCrunch and stuff talking about a bunch of individuals drinking beers out of their shoes while excited people stare on or whatever the hell they worded it. I was like, this is the best thing I've seen. Like, we're a bunch of degenerates just having fun. I'm definitely curious to hear how some of the other people felt about NFT NYC. I know some people had some very select comments the first day back about how it just felt like one giant party. I feel like that's kind of what it was. So, I mean, I wasn't too mad about it. It was a ton of fun for me. But, Cody, I actually wanted to pass to you real quick. Then we'll hit Frisk, Manny, kind of pass it around. Cody, what did you think of it all?
Dude, I had a blast. I mean, especially, like, a lot of people on the stage I got to meet. Manny, Frisk, not Alexander, obviously. But, no, it was a blast. I mean, just meeting people that you talk to online a bunch, meeting new people, and, you know, I don't know how everybody isn't sick right now. I feel like 90% of participants kind of just feel like shit right now. I'm part of that crew, so I'm trying to get back on my feet right now. That's about it.
Nah, man, I feel like everyone got the NFT NYC, the whatever you want to call it at this point.
The new strand.
Yeah, exactly, right? They minted it. Frisk, what's going on?
Yeah, I've been told that if you got COVID at NFT NYC, that's your POAB. So that's how you know you made it there. So everyone is definitely feeling that right now. Yeah, I'm going to second Cody on that. Like, even if it was just one big massive party, I had a great fucking time. Like, everyone was so cool. A lot of the speakers up here I met, it was just nice, like, talking to y'all. Like, I met Cody at the D-Gods party. I met Benny at the Bears morning. I was chilling with Hoddle on the yacht the whole time. Amy, I obviously was, like, chilling shit with her the whole time. And it's just great. Like obviously, like, we all, like bitch and argue at each other in spaces and stuff. But, like, once you get there and you see the people in real life, you're like, ah, fuck it. Let's have a drink, man. Like, we're all having a good time here. We're all here for the same reason. And it's I hate to say it's good vibes, but it really is good vibes.
One of the pass it to Shill and Villain. What's going on?
Yeah, I went to a couple events. They were all the same. It was just like drinking alcohol. Dude, we trade NFTs. It's like we get on Twitter and Discord, and it didn't feel like that environment. It just felt like it was. If you like drinking alcohol, if you like screaming, if you like getting COVID, then that's I would highly recommend going to these NFT events. But if you like to have, like, these types of conversations, meet up with people, have intellectual conversation, like, talk about what the market's doing, then I would avoid it.
You have to go to dinners for that, Shill and Villain, which clearly you don't get invited to, so, which I can't say I'm surprised about. No, I'm just kidding. Did you come to our event?
Yeah, I poked my head in there, and I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm, and you didn't say hello?
Bro, it's the most fucked up thing, but I'm going to stop bringing it up. I'm genuinely angry about it.
Did I walk right by you at one point? Was I within 3 feet of you, Shill and Villain?
Bro, he told me he waved to me and I ignored him, which, like, I kind of probably believe because I was moving a million miles a minute. But, like, that's such bullshit. Like, at least tap me on the shoulder.
I'll just quickly step in for Alex, yeah, because in my opinion, I mean, I never realized that being an influencer was such hard work until this dude appeared, because he's absolutely breaking the mold in the influencer game. And as well, I actually think he's that on the level that he actually probably did go there and just observe as some sort of recon mission, to be fair, because this guy is the real deal, in my opinion. So I'll just stick up for him.
He doesn't miss. I'll give him that much.
Real deal sociopath, real deal. You should be admitted.
No, yeah, thank you, Running Man. I know you're complimenting, but I did want to call out, you did just plug this show on our last AMA, and I kind of didn't appreciate that. That's the only reason we can't speak.
I thought he was doing the right thing there. I was glad to get him up as a speaker. Great question on it. It was an awesome time. Hoddle, what's going on? It was great to meet you.
That's what I was talking about. Like, I met Easy himself, you know, Frisk finally, not Alex, obviously, met Amy before. Jesus Christ, Alex. It's just so great that you come to these spaces and then don't say hi to anybody. I think that's, like, the most amazing part of this whole thing is that, like, you went to NFT NYC and nobody knows if you were there. You were probably there, but you weren't. Like, you didn't experience anything that we experienced. Like, I actually got job opportunities. You probably lost job opportunities.
Alex, here's your hand up. You gotta, what's your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying, like, meet at a rock and we're gonna get high, bro. You're not getting jobs at the rock in Central Park.
Yeah, you're right. I only went to a rock in Central Park. That makes total sense, Alex. I went to one place the entire time. Oh, and I guess I'm the only one here that didn't catch COVID. So
your boy's negative at the moment, so we're chilling.
Dope, bro. No, I don't even feel sick. My voice is just screwed up from all the fun we've had. Damn, Alex. Why don't you like having fun, bro?
We'll stop ragging out Alex, but I want to pass it around. Amy, what's going on?
Clearly I have COVID.
Oh yeah, you're down bad.
Clearly I am cool. If you're not cool if you didn't get COVID, that's the meta. Please pass that around. Alex is a rug online, and so he not surprised that he's a rug in person. So love that. I'm also 50 shades of sad that I didn't get to meet you, Easy, or the rest of the Nifty team. We were running in the same circles, we're at the same parties, and I didn't even see you. So I can't be that mad at Alex for not saying hi to me. If I'm a doxed ass woman out here. It's your job, you're a dog on the internet. So I'm not going to take any blame for this, and I'm going to put it all on you and say that you're not a true friend. So I'm just as mad at you, Easy, as I am at Alex.
This is fair. This is valid criticism. I completely understand. At least there is confirmation I was there from some people. But hey, it happens. Manny, what's going on?
Dude, it was that I expected. Like, everybody who I met looked like a drug dealer from SoundCloud. And I loved every second of it. Like, pretty much, like, everyone who was there they all passed the vibe check. Like, I definitely thought that, like, these were all people from the internet who I'd probably never want to hang out with. And I was like, yo, dude, I kind of want to hang out with you guys, like, all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was at that rock at Central Park. I met HODL. He was super dope. Like, just exactly what I would expect. I hung out with Benny. Dude, it was a riot. Like, I definitely, it was a Silk Road meet up, Easy. It was totally, that's how everybody got their start, dude. They're all OG Bitcoin money people, but I had a blast, dude. I definitely did some pretty good networking. I met some guy who runs an HFT fund at a bagel place. And I was like, yo, how do you do this? And he was super cool. And just, it was a really good time.
I think that's one of the big things, too, is just, like, the networking opportunities were massive and just interacting with people, especially, like, during the day. I do agree with what Shalom was saying. Like, at night, it's tough. Everyone's drinking, loud music, screaming. So it's not as much as, like, these Twitter spaces. Like, we're not talking projects. I don't think I've talked a single project aside from getting shilled probably a handful of times. But other than that, like, it was just great to finally put a bunch of faces to names. Alan, what's happening?
Yo, what's good? Bro, I had Alex in my DMs crying about how he waved at you and you didn't wave back, bro. What's good? I mean,
I know, bro. I'm an asshole. Like, I'm the villain here. And I know Alex is 6'7" with massive hands, so I don't know how I missed the wave. I'll bounce back. Maybe next time I'll see it, so we'll be good to go. Hambo, what's happening?
Wait. What do you mean 6'7"? Wait. What?
What?
Wait. Is Alex? Wait, Alex is over 5 foot? No way, Cap.
Hamba, what's happening?
Yo, what's up? Pretty pissed I didn't meet you. PO did not sign my boobs. Publicly FUDing star catchers, they did not let a lot of people in. Supposedly the security guards were just being dicks. While there was plenty of room inside and they just did not let people in, I have no idea. I don't know how you don't let people into an RSVP type thing. I don't know. But it was a good time. Met a lot of people. Met Ebron at the Alien Friends event. We talked a lot of shit about Easy. Other than that, it was a great time.
Dude, he's the absolute man. Like, that was the funniest part was we were at our event, and he came. And he was like, we had told him, like, we didn't get the top shelf stuff. We got the second to the top shelf. And he's like, nah, I don't drink that. And ended up spending, like, at least a couple thousand in shots. I was like, this is impressive, because, like, at an open bar, you just dropped a couple racks. So, I mean, he sold the reptiles at the peak, so, like, he definitely has some bags outside of football, I'd hope, but those things may have gone to all the liquor that we consumed at that guy. Running Man, what's happening?
How you doing? All right. Just to reply to Alex. I mean, Alex, we're basically family now, you know what I mean? We're basically talking about our show on Spices, you know what I mean? Plus the pilgrims, we're not going to make it. I think we can all be clear on that point. You know what I mean? I might as well do something. Secondly, I think after this event, especially, people are going to be more identifiable. Probably going to lead to like less rugs in the future and more like accountability. And I think the more the space evolves, I think we'll start seeing more of that. And just to touch on a point that PO said, next one in Las Vegas, I think it's a great idea, dude. Las Vegas is the place for this, and I would definitely be there.
It has to be done. I think that you're just going to see an evolution to Vegas straight up. It's just it just works too well. And honestly, people just complained about New York so much. People don't like physically moving their bodies. They don't like to walk. They don't like to take subways. They don't like to have to do anything.
Bro, you're literally describing me.
Yeah, and then you got guys like Shill and Villain that say that they don't drink, but they ran up Ebron's tab, probably accounted for like $1,000 out of the few racks that were dropped. I just gotta say this, and we'll stop talking about it. I thought that when Easy told me that Alex was around and taking pictures of people and not,
he was actually taking pictures. I think he was just around.
Okay, well, if you were taking pictures, that would have been even better. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever heard. I really did. I was like, that is the funniest fucking thing. I wish I thought of that. I love that. I don't know if I don't have the balls to sacrifice an entire week-long event for the sake of a prank, but I'm glad somebody does.
All right, enough with Shill and Villain. I'm tired of him. I don't know who he is. I'm over this. Benny, what's happening?
Yo, what's going on, EZ? I just wanted to comment and say, like, for me, NFT NYC was very eye-opening in the transition to Web3, like, bridging the gap, as cringy as that sounds. But really, like, I had a lot of people who in Web2 jobs with product designing, software engineering, data, like, asking me, like, how do I get my start in Web3? Whether that be like with their current company or like new potential jobs. I just think we're going to start to see that transition.
I think so too. And I think we do start to see more of these like daytime events and things where it's a lot more networking than drinking. I heard a lot of good things about the Bears event being in the middle of the day. People said it felt way more chill, way more like relationship building. So I think we might even start to see a little bit of like a hybrid thing like that. Doodles did a similar form of it. A lot of people complained about Doodles, however, which no surprise. But some of these things too, I think it would make a lot of sense to do like a daytime networking event with a nighttime event at another night, maybe just to mix it up, but also provide that value from like a work standpoint. That could be a really good idea and a good take on it. Cause I think the one thing I saw all over Twitter right after was just a lot of people saying like, well, these projects should do holder events where certain holders do like some form of educational series. And that was one thing at like VCon that I was actually excited and kind of saw a couple things on, was it felt like there was a lot more like pockets, speeches and talks where it was a lot more educational and getting a lot more insight into stuff. So I definitely agree with that sentiment. And I think honestly, if NFT NYC sold tickets to projects to do some form of that, they could probably actually get people to go to the conference and not just the events. So, I mean, there's definitely going to keep improving on this. I think there's a lot of growth, but I think the one thing everyone here agrees on is that like from a Solana standpoint, this turnout was absolutely insane, especially considering most of the time we see stuff from like Soul Hacker Houses and a little bit smaller venues and sizes. This was like a full-blown show out. And I think compared to last year where there was maybe one event, maybe an SMB dinner, there was constant events. I could have not gone to a single ETH thing and still found myself occupied the entire time. Wanted to pass it down to Mav. What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't make it out to New York City this year just because I'm not huge on big cities like that. But from everything I saw online, it looks like Solana definitely outshone ETH's events this year. What did you guys think, you know, going to both of them?
I mean, I'm biased because my favorite event was the Nifty event, obviously. But then other than that, like, I really didn't. I think D-God showed out. And that was like, I showed up a little bit late to it. But I was blown away by, like, that venue. It wasn't at a bar. They rented, I believe it was a penthouse. And it was just kind of open floor plan with not overcrowded, but you could tell there was a lot of people there. Like, that was hands down one of my favorites. Everyone there was just so happy to be there. And it felt like a party, but I don't want to say like just loud music because you could hear people talk. It was a great time. Like, me personally, I'm way bigger a fan of Solana than ETH, but hey. Ragnar, what's going on? We cannot hear you if you're speaking. This is problematic. Cody, what's going on?
Nah, I mean, agreed, like, Solana's the place to be, but to shout out, obviously, PO, Nick, and you, like, the Nifty event, until D-Gods, I was saying it was my favorite event of the week, but the only thing I do need to say is, since Solana is going to take over, if Frank doesn't get Lil Baby and Lil Wayne to perform next year, I'm freaking out. That's all I know.
I got some big hopes on Frank delivered something crazy. I got no doubts on it. I'm sure he's going to only provide something better than this year. Manny, what's going on?
Yeah, dude, just two comments. Like, one, everyone was super tall for anybody who wasn't there. And you guys were wondering, everyone is super tall. But the biggest thing that...
Bro, somebody told me they thought I was 5'4". Like, this is crazy, dude. I see you sitting down, like, there's no way you're, like... Dude, I'm, like, probably an honest 6 feet, maybe 6'1". This person came up to, like, dude, I was picturing you, like, my belly button height. And they were barely 5'8". I was like, dude, what is this?
It's the funniest thing when people say that they had like this height impression of you, because just like Easy, I mean, everybody keeps telling me that they thought I was short, and I'm not tall, but it's just weird to hear that. One guy also said that I was cooler than he thought, so fuck that guy.
Well, that's a fact.
Dude, that guy's a jackwagon.
But what do you mean then you thought? You thought I was a fucking... like a bum.
Sorry, Manny, what were you saying?
No, that guy, A, that guy's a jackwagon, but B, dude, I'm just super disappointed in OpenSea. Like, what? We spend so much fucking money on their platform, and they didn't do anything.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Like, Magic Eden straight stole the yacht from Trippin' Apes. Well done by them. Put their name on it and claimed it as theirs. I loved the idea. I was like, that was smooth as hell. Let's go. Take full credit. This thing is ripping. OpenSea didn't do shit. I was like, that. I didn't even think of that. They take 2.5% of every single sale and didn't even throw, like, a gallery. Like, that's crazy. Blair, what's going on?
Yo. So, it was awesome meeting you at the D-Gods party, but I just want to say something real quick. I have a photo of you and me next to each other, and I'm 6'2", so you're definitely not 5 foot, because we're at – basically even height there. But on the note of like what people were saying about getting sick at the event there, I think what the problem was is like on the way to the D-God party, I stepped in like a shit and piss puddle of NYC and did a shoey out of it, and I'm pretty sure that that's like,
let's go, it's like a true Solana fashion,
it's an immunity booster. So I think the people who didn't do a shoey out of a piss and shit shoe, that's why everyone's sick. So that's all I gotta say.
This is the type of stuff we live for. It just shows that we have a much stronger community and more specifically immune system. Huge fan of it. Danny, what's happening?
Yeah, that's pretty gross what he said. I was just going to say, I think OpenSea is kind of being frugal right now. It seems like they're trying to expand upon their business. They have a launch pad coming out soon. Also, with regards to event venues, I thought that Nifty had the best venue by far. If it was later in the night, it would have been the best event. But yeah, definitely the best event venue.
Let's go. That's what I love to hear. Amy, what's happening?
I think OpenSea is probably being frugal because they promised all these investors that they would have all these Solana people coming over to OpenSea, and Magic Eden's market share has only increased since that's happened. I know I've heard rumors that they're going to do 0% marketplace fees for Solana NFTs. That's just like buzz that I'm hearing internally. But because they're really like scrambling to try to figure out how to get the user base on OpenSea, but not sure how that's going to play out.
I mean, I'll say my opinion on it is, one marketplace gets the volume on Solana, or the volume doesn't split. It just, the collections will drop to one marketplace and one marketplace only, in my opinion. I can't see two marketplaces trading straight after a mint, you know, with people splitting different parts of the collection up into different sides. So it's a winner takes all for me. And if you look at the way a Magic Eden operates compared to OpenSea, you know, I mean, OpenSea can't even fucking run ETH collection drops properly, let alone the speed of Solana. So yeah, I don't think them guys are going to make it at all.
Do you think if Eden started dropping ETH NFTs that they would have success?
What was that, sorry?
I don't.
What was that, sorry?
I just asked if Magic Eden started launching ETH NFTs and had like an ETH side, do you think that they would have
success? No, I think it's just a Solana-focused marketplace, to be fair, and I think it operates best that way. I mean, but like I say, if you look at the actual structure of how it's that side operates and how it drops collections, I mean, and it's only getting. I mean, we used to foot it before, you know what I mean? But I mean, it's getting real slick now. I mean, it's even dropping like trading graphs and like trading analysis on collections now, and that's quite up there with a lot of trading software as well. So yeah, I mean, I can honestly see them getting stronger, and I think they get total domination unless they drop the ball in a really bad way. So I don't think they do. I think they get total market domination of them Solana collections, in my opinion.
I think there'd be a better return if OpenSea either did 0% or if they even did a 0.5%. I think we would still see some money flow that way, because it's clear that there's Solana projects hitting that top 10 every day. But I don't think that's the inverse would be as effective. I think Magic Eden started doing ETH NFTs. You're not going to see a swarm of ETH people move over there regardless of what the fees are. We've even seen it with like Looks Rare and XYZ. So both of those, it's an interesting dynamic. I'm curious to see how OpenSea is going to try to take market share, because it's a clear indication that Magic Eden holds a monopoly on Solana NFTs at the moment. Frisk, what's going on?
I was actually just going to like add on to that, Easy, what you just said about how like regardless of the fees, I still think that like people are going to stay where they're most comfortable. People are going to continue trading where it is that they feel like it's home. Like even for me, if I'm more likely to use Magic Eden than almost any other marketplace. Lately, I've been using Coral Cube, but even then, like it's still the same thing. But in regards to the Solana like launchpad going on OpenSea, I've been talking with a lot of like my ETH friends who are like in the know, they've known about it for a while, and like it's pretty crazy because like a lot of us who are on Solana, like we don't really care for OpenSea, myself included. And like, because like they're not doing a lot of shit, right? Like just compared to like their outreach and compared to like their rapport with the community, but they are stacked with fucking funding. Like they have so much money to make this happen that like if they just started like you said, like there was no event at NFT NYC, there's a big disconnect between their community there. But when they have the money to create something cool, and create something that's so massive, I think that there's no reason they shouldn't be putting in their focus and their funds into connecting with the people on Solana and the people who've been there for a while. And that's where I think that they could succeed, is the fact that they have the potential to be a huge Goliath.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like that funding is next level. So it's there's a lot to consider. But I mean, the one clear thing too is like trading ETH for a while and even still getting into some ETH trades, it's clear that OpenSea doesn't adapt quick enough, and if anything, it seems like they're very slow to move, pivot, and innovate. Where like we've seen Magic Eden do everything they can to try to stay in front of other places. Like when Soulport dropped that sweeper, Magic Eden within 48 hours had at least teased it, and then within 72 hours had a functioning version of one. So like for me, that's huge because it shows that they are listening to the community. And man, I've FUDded the hell out of Magic Eden. I talked so much shit about the Balloonsville buyout. Even more shit on the Magic Eden ticket drop. I just didn't like how they did it. I was very vocal about it. But I got to give credit where credit's due. And lately, they've been trying to pivot. I'm already mad about this D-Gen Town Mint or whatever the hell this Stealth Mint is, because they keep time rugging us.
Bro.
I'm a huge Stealth Mint fan.
Bro.
For like a week and a half. I think we have one of the advisors on stage right now, but I won't call him out. It's just rumors and speculation I've been hearing. And if he wants to speak, he's free to share. But, dude, they just keep time-rugging the hell out of us. I hate these tweets.
I nearly stopped up on Saturday night, right, because I thought it was going to drop. This Stealth Mint's been advertised better than Just Ape and Great Goats, mate. Stealth Mint. I mean, it's like the most like anticipated event in the Solana calendar. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. It's just cringe how they've done that, to be fair.
I wish they just dropped a launchpad link with it. They said
the Mint.
They said nothing.
It would have gone to 20 by now. That'd just dropped.
It'd still be fucking running.
Fucking running now, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, he raised his hand. Shill and Villain, what's going on?
Yeah, dude, holy shit. Just want me to talk about it. Okay, I don't know how much information I can give out, so I'm actually probably going to give out none.
I'm not going to say shit.
No, but I want to talk about the launch pads, OpenSea versus Solana. OpenSea was supposed to launch the Sphinx, and then they got the OpenSea launchpad like had to delay, so now they're going with Magic Eden. And so the first one that's going on is the Zunis, I think it's called. But
yeah, Zunis.
So Magic Eden right now is launching anything and everything, and I feel like their launchpad's completely diluted at this point. So if OpenSea goes out and only launches like one or two projects a week versus like one or like five projects a day, I think OpenSea can find a lot of success.
I actually completely agree. If they like Zuni's has, from everything I've seen, seems like it's a little bit more organic, not as in your face marketing. I know that Chillin, you've been doing the like how many mutual followers do we have, and I love that idea because it's like that'll show if people that are in the people you interact with are actively interested in a project. I didn't even think to do that. I'm significantly dumber than you. But I'm excited to see kind of how that plays out. We've seen some terrible ratios, though. Like, we were AMAing a project yesterday that had, like, 40 or 50 total. But then they fired back and were like, maybe you just don't interact with our community. So, like, I think there's two sides of the coin. Alex, what's going on?
That's total cap. I want to interact.
That's what I was thinking, too, bro. That's I was totally like, there's cap. No way there's people we don't interact with. Like, you have 50 people.
Yeah. So it's funny that we talk about this because the two that are going on OpenSea, like Sphinx had over 1,000 mutual followers from me. So like OpenSea picked that up, but then obviously they switched to Magic Eden. And then Zuni's has like the second highest. So it's OpenSea is somehow either able to detect this or just got lucky on the first two that they were going to launch because those two were going to be bangers.
But bro, think of it too, from the start of Magic Eden, when they first did their launch pad, those things were home runs. Like those cooked. And then when Hydra had the issue – and everyone had to go back to Magic Eden, Trippin' Age cooked. So there was, like, other things where it was, like, the last one on Hydra and then the first few on Magic Eden again. It's an interesting thing, but I think they're going to bang. What's going on? Alex,
yeah. You said Tripping Ape, but I feel like that was incubated. Hydra. Yeah, I feel like that was incubated with Hydra.
That was the last one, though. And then the shift from that was, what did we have? We had those Yeah Tigers, which was trash. We had what was that other one that we talked about? Not primates. This is gonna drive me insane.
The Jenkin one or whatever it is.
Oh man.
Jenkin Ape.
G-Con was Soulport. But even that, like, I think Soulport has some allure to it too. This is gonna be interesting once we get back to Launchpad meta. I wanted to pass it over to Benny. He's had his hand up for a bit, and we'll cycle around. Benny, what's going on?
I just wanted to touch on like if Magic Eden's promoting a stealth mint with nothing of a roadmap, isn't that incentivizing gambling?
Yeah, but they have all those terms and services, bro.
Let's go. Let's go.
Honestly, man, at this point, I'm a fan. Like, we're aping Launch My NFT every day, and they quite literally say no website, no Discord, no Twitter, no roadmap, and they sell out in minutes. So I'll swing, you know? At least it'll get listed on Magic Eden right away. I wanted to sit down. Let's go ahead, run, man.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say... I mean, it has been known that Magic Eden can get like rather sneaky, you know what I mean? Because they hold the volume on the drops. You know, if they start screwing around with collections, I decide to use OpenSea Launchpad, you know what I mean? It's going to take about one or two collections to get like go wrong on there before everybody stops using it, in my opinion. And we have been known for Magic Eden to get rather sneaky with their market share. So, yeah, I won't put anything past them, if I'm honest.
No, it'll be interesting. I wanted to pass it to a first-time speaker. Zoli, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. The only thing I wanted to ask was, why is OpenSea so late? It's been so long, right? They clearly saw Magic Eden taking advantage of these launch pads, right? And they're just hopping on it right now. Like, what's going on?
I wish I had a good answer for you. I think it was tough because we had 15 different launch pads with like an allegiance to Hydra for a while, and now we're kind of pivoting away. Before that, we had an allegiance to Magic Eden and a love for Soulport, I guess you could say. So, man, I like this line of conversation because I'm really interested in what will actually happen from OpenSea's perspective. And if the launchpad goes well, we could see a shift. Now I'm like rethinking, can OpenSea even capture market share? Because of Shill and Villain's comments, like they're finding decent projects, it looks like. But we'll see how it plays out. Amy, what's going on?
So I kind of disagree. Because I don't know if you saw like a month ago, OpenSea, I don't know what your guys' situation is with pinning things to the top, but I went back and found this. It's a post that OpenSea put up about Solana NFT projects. It's like a thread that they put together, and quite literally I'd never heard of one of these projects that they put together that like their marketing team put out. Like it's borderline embarrassing. Like there's one project that ended up coming to the light, but the reason I found is because Magic Eden in turn trolled it. And but I'm not bullish because I don't think that their marketing team has really done the work. I think that they see the cash grab that is Solana NFTs and how it's definitely the play right now. And they're like, okay, we have to get on board with this or we're like, it, or were not keeping up with the times, but they hadn't done the research because I don't think that they saw as big of a wave that it's become. And I think that they are behind in the research. It doesn't feel like anybody on their team knows, like, has a pulse on Solana NFTs. So if they brought people in as advisors or something like that to help guide that situation, I could see that being a bullish situation. But as of now, like for the last month, I'm not exactly excited about any of that.
I like some of those topics too, because I do recall that tweet, and I was like, it was all those posts about like good secondary projects, and I was like, what the hell are these? I think they had Grim Syndicate was the only one I recognized, and that was after the thing had pumped like 4 or 5 times. So I was like, this is terrible. It's clearly not plugged in. Running Man, what's going on?
Just a quick question. I mean, does OpenSea even accept Slope Wallet? I mean, I only see Phantom on there. I mean, have we got auto buy option on OpenSea?
No,
I mean,
are you
so basically, you know, the traders, right? They're not even catering to traders, which, you know, win basically the majority of the volume on a secondary drop. Then I mean, I look on Soloist, and they've got Coral Cube, and we've got Magic Eden. I don't see OpenSea on Soloist. I think, you know, they're not catering to traders. They can't expect to get any volume out of us at all unless they start innovating and changing things. But I just think that Magic Eden just go further forward as if they even start doing that.
No, I mean, I do agree to an extent on some of that. It's going to be, I guess, just a time will tell type of deal here. We're going to see what happens with it, what actually plays out, what, if anything, that they deliver on it. And I'm excited to see how the secondary actually kind of navigates some of it. Frisk, what's going on?
So I am going to agree with Alex on this. I think that the exclusivity of the project they launch is going to be a big indicator on maybe a lot of their success, because I think Hydra was known as the launch pad that is just constantly cooking, like every single launch that they put out. And so now that Hydra is I'm going to say gone, there's a hole left for, I guess, a new opportunity for someone to take that. Magic Eden is launching as many projects as they can, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it's a good approach from a business standpoint, and even just from an exposure standpoint, it's great. I'm going to give you guys some alpha right now. I never said this, even though this is a recorded space. There are currently 4 projects confirmed to be launching with OpenSea. There's probably more, but I know for a fact that there are 4 that's confirmed. Zunis is one of them, and Monkai is another one of them. I can't see the other 2. But I think that's – go ahead, easy.
I was just gonna say, Monkai looked interesting. That was one that I've been following a little bit, so I'm excited for that. Man, this is interesting because I really am still thinking about what Chillin Villain does with these projects, looking at the mutual followers. Something about that just feels like I'm a huge social sentiment trader. So like that's a big indication, and I do remember seeing Zunis have a good chunk. That Monkai has a good chunk of people that follow me as well. Yeah, I want to talk to their marketing team. Like, how are they reaching out to these projects? Where are they finding them? Because I need that alpha for sure.
So basically, I'll say like right now, I don't think this is necessarily alpha, but I work with Metaverse HQ. I mean, if anyone who's in ETH knows them, like they're great people, and they help with a lot of the scouting that goes into OpenSea. I wouldn't say it's scouting necessarily, but like they're partnered fairly well. And so that's one of the things that like which I think is a great thing when they're talking to community members and stuff. So I know that OpenSea is taking a lot of those right steps. And like I said, just the fact that they have that insane amount of funding is bullish. I think that a lot of what they're doing right now on the outside isn't a good thing. Like the lack of attendance at like NFT NYC, that kind of thing, et cetera, et cetera. But like, I think that there is definitely a potential. And I think that there's a hole to like be filled in regards to the Solana space for what could be used for adoption, because they have such a massive reach. But I also think that Magic Eden is catching up big time. There is no telling, but I wouldn't be so quick to fade them just yet. But I agree with what Amy said also as well, that like at the moment, there's nothing too attractive or sexy about it.
Yeah, we'll see how they handle it. That's going to be the biggest thing. And I think that's the same thing we've all been kind of circling on. Manny, what's going on?
I just had 2 comments. One, we're all going to forget that Hydra did whatever they did in probably 15 days or 30 more days, and then we'll be back on Hydra. Like, either it's a new name or something else. Like, we don't have morals. We trade pictures, and we like making money. We don't care how it goes up. We just want to Like, let's be very clear about that. And then B, I think whoever gets NFT soloist or buys out NFT nerds and integrates a trader function within the website, because right now I don't use Magic Eden. I don't use OpenSea. Like, I use NFT nerds and NFT soloist or Soul Sniper, right? Like, it's going to be one of those where they have somebody who opens up tools that caters to it, and I can make 2% more profit. Because if the NFT is posted on your website, then I get the extra 2%, which is like nothing to sneeze at, but I don't think that it really matters.
But I think there's other dynamics there too. Like if say Magic Eden acquired something like that, we are clearly seeing them go more towards the analytics route. But if they did something like acquired or created functionality like Soloist or Sniper, they could also restrict some of the APIs, put rate limiting on them, so you'd either have to buy through their app or do some other means of that. Like, there's a lot of interesting things that could come from that, from like a tech standpoint, that could start to drive a further focus for specific traders. And of course, with traders comes more volume. I really like the idea there. It's gonna be interesting to see how they keep adapting. I mean, I'm pretty damn vocal about how often I use Soloist, Sniper, and NFT nerds. I wanted to pass it to Running Man, but first, just real quick down to Zoli again. Running Man, I know you're a Soul Sniper advocate, so I do want to circle back on that. Zoli, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Manny about the Hydra launch pads. I don't think anyone's going to forget about what they did. He said it might be 15 days. I don't think it's ever going to happen. As long as Alexander's here too, I don't think he's going to let them off the leash either. So what do you think, Easy?
I mean, it's going to be tough. I think if they come back as like some A9 unknown launch pad, it's going to be the most tough. God bless you, Riz. But I do think, like, over time here, as we keep kind of figuring out what's the best path forward, who knows if launch pads even continue to exist, you know? Like, that would be my bigger thing. Bring back the days of you had to be competent enough from a development standpoint to release at least a website. It seems like we've really strayed away from that. Running Man, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to launch pads, I mean, there's that many of them now. The market's diluted. I mean, it's a secret thing, so I've got one now. I mean, that seems to work pretty well. It's going to be the one that gives them the best exposure. I mean, Meta's pretty much dead. I mean, just going back to the marketplaces, I was in the early days of ETH. OpenSea still looks the same now as it did when I was trading ETH, you know, 18 months ago. You've got two marketplaces here, and one's an innovator, and one's reacting. And the innovator, in my opinion, is always going to be, you know, the one front running the market and actually innovating because they want to innovate, and not innovating because they want to catch up, is the one that's going to be the one that ends up dominant, in my opinion.
I mean, I think so as well. Manny, or first, Amy, what's going on?
So this hasn't been confirmed, but I've heard this from three different people while I was in NYC that, like, I trust that they have good information, but so I'm not, like, confirming this, but I've heard that OpenSea might be consuming Hydra and be bringing them in. I think that they went shopping trying to sell this off. I remember in Alexander's space when we were grilling Hydra's founders, they were saying that they were in talks.
Rez was very open about letting people know that they were having some talks go on. I'll never forget that.
Right. And so then while I was talking with some members that of people who have associated themselves with Hydra or people who are in competition with Hydra, like lots of people on different fronts were saying that the rumor is that they're being consumed by OpenSea.
That'd be the big push that I think they could leverage. I mean, but it's also tough because, like we just said, they had a launch pad rumors that they were launching stuff about a month ago. This may have just streamlined it. There's a lot going on there, too, that they've had to delay a few mints now. So this could be a whole other wrench in the dynamic. Like, maybe they have to pivot to use the launch pad. Who knows? I'm curious to see how it plays out. Manny, what's happening?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond. Like, do I think Prez is a jackwagon and what he did to the market sucks? Yeah, absolutely. Like, do I like him? I don't know. I've never met him, but, like, the story that happened, I don't like, right? But people forget. Like, if Prez is moving to OpenSea, I'm minting because I'm printing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am pro money. Like, let's not forget that. Like, I don't do this shit for free. I am pro money, and morals aside, I am pro money.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's sentiment when it comes to trading specifically. And I think a lot of people agree, like the last few projects that have bounced off there have absolutely mooned. So if there is anything that comes to life from that, I think that's a bullish sign for the first couple projects on OpenSea. We've talked a ton about OpenSea here. Want to quickly do a room reset. quickly take a pause. We have another 30 minutes, give or take. This is Solana Made Easy, your Monday to Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Solana Trading Show. Everything on here, not financial advice, we're just talking trades and market talk. Appreciate everyone's conversation. I want to dive into a few more topics here that we got to cover. But as always, shout out all the speakers. Let's get back into it. So, diving back into the fun here. Wanted to highlight some things. We got the Solana phone dropping. Has anyone else put down their $100 deposit on this guy? Gotten it. Gotten the NFT coming. Myself included, I have. I'm excited for it. Probably won't use it because it's an Android, but I want to support the focus. Want to get into some of these apps, see what they can kick off and what actually works here. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what other people think about it. Me personally, I'm extremely excited to see how they actually create, like, not quite Apple apps, but a similar idea. If the big thing here comes into play that they have some form of Solana Pay, like an Apple Pay, that's going to go crazy. I think it really is just bullish for Sol as a whole. And even yesterday, what we saw was, yes, I believe it was yesterday and the day before, a bunch of .Sol usernames were actually flying in anticipation that you'll be able to link that to a point of contact on the phone. So there's a lot of cool things that I could see from a tech standpoint here. I'm interested to hear what other people think about this. And really, has anyone else wanted to buy into it, gotten their pre-order in? What's happening, Ready Man?
Yeah, as an iPhone user, I think I'm going to wait for the Gen 2, the updated version, because there's going to be a hell of bugs in this. But no, seriously, I don't know. I mean, I'm security-wise, I mean, this phone's geared to crypto users, Web3 users, you know what I mean? These phones, where they're being put together, where they're being manufactured, where they're being, you know, where they're being held, you know, because not like normal phones, you know, everybody who's using this phone is going to be a Web3 adopter with wallets attached, etc. And I think I'm just going to hold back a little bit and just wait for the Gen 2 and wait for the technology just to slightly evolve before I jump in on this one. I do agree with for supporting it. But yeah, as a functional device, maybe I'm going to wait for, like, you know, the second.
I mean, I'm definitely not going to throw a hot wallet on it, Dave. That's probably my biggest fear here. Download one app and all my items are gone. Like all of my Salami is just in the void. We'll see how it plays out.
So, I mean, somebody's going to work out putting these together. You know what I mean? maybe they could add a little summer to the mix. Sooner or later. So yeah, I'm just gonna just wait for that to develop slightly before I start adding all my apps and my wallets and everything.
No, 100%. I'm curious though, what do some of the other people feel about it? I mean, Cody, I know I talked briefly with you about it. Are you getting the phone? Are you excited for it? Do you think this is good? Are you excited, I guess, that Solana Labs is going this route? I think some people were a little bit hesitant due to things like Apple and Android already being in the market.
Yeah, so I think that this is one of those topics where I've been enjoying, like, reading a lot of threads from smarter people so far this week, basically, like, saying both sides, like, is it going to be good long term? How is, you know, them trying to get 50,000 users that are actually involved in the space, like, really going to transform, you know, Solana moving forward? I did make my deposit as well. I'm going to get one. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of cool things that could happen with having, like, you know, your wallet, your ledger, whatever you want to call it, which obviously I agree, I'm not having that stuff on there anytime soon. But I just think it's cool to see, like, you know, totally giving talks on this, like really trying to see how bring in more builders overall, you know, a phone built for the devs.
I think that's probably the biggest takeaway here is this is going to provide a lot of opportunity for future developers to drive into things like SDKs and other kind of cool development stuff. But overall, it just seems like people may be interested. Some people aren't. Like you said, I was reading a bunch of threads on it myself. People that understood it way better than me that made me kind of more bullish. But Cantor, first-time speaker, saw you're a TA specialist, producer, inventor. Curious to hear your thoughts on this or what else you got going on. Cantor, you there? Hand up. No one home.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you. I guess I lost signal for a second. I might not have heard the question you were asking, but I had a piece to bring up, if that's okay. Unless you want to mention the question.
As long as you're not chilling, I'm happy to hear what you got. What you're thinking?
What's going on? So my first thought process is kind of like, okay, this is a top 10 ecosystem. They are looking to diversify. This is kind of the first ecosystem that is bringing together kind of a full-on hardware development section to their company. I think that it makes it a very interesting investment vehicle for a lot of individuals because it's no longer just a theoretical ecosystem of potential payments or NFTs or things that we've already seen. You know, this kind of goes outside the box. And on top of it, from a monetary standpoint or a fiscal standpoint, this makes it really unique because now they can take their funds and let's say, I don't know if Solana has a foundation. I know that Ethereum does, but usually the way it works is that they hold their assets and then they either sell the assets for stablecoin or US dollars or give Ethereum or Solana or whatever their assets are to another individual to start developing things. This is kind of a really interesting, unique approach because they could end up selling assets for US dollars or euros or whatever currency they're looking for and start kind of locking in that value, if you will, at a certain level and develop this hardware. It kind of brings in a whole new idea of what a cryptocurrency ecosystem or company is capable of instead of just solely, I mean, really a lot of these ecosystems are almost like a SaaS. They're a software as a service in a sense, even though it's a token and then so forth. This is, you know, I think this brings a really new viewpoint to the whole scene for a hardware perspective. Because, I mean, really up until this point, we've been talking about metaverse, we've been talking about VR and things like that. But besides, you know, Meta or Facebook, which owns Oculus, there really is no other major hardware company besides maybe Ledger and, you know, individuals who do mining rigs and things like that. So it really brings a whole new viewpoint. And, you know, I'm curious to see what any of you think in regards to if there's others that might go into hardware or if this might be too risky of a bet, because obviously getting into the hardware space against giants like Google and Apple is going to be very risky. I mean, look what happened to Linux Phone. Look what happened to Nokia. Look what happened to you know, BlackBerry.
Even Amazon's phone. You got to remember the Fire Phone was a functional device for a limited amount of time. But I think you're kind of hitting a lot of key things there. This opens up the ecosystem to hardware, opens up the ecosystem to further developers. I just added Scotty with one T to the stage. I know he's an active developer. Not sure how much you heard of the conversation, Scotty, around the Solana phone and what we've been talking about. But coming from the development world, I'm just curious if you're excited for this, if you think this may even bring in additional developers or future feature functionality and benefits for the entire ecosystem, or really if you think it's a bad idea.
Thanks for bringing me in. So I'm interested in seeing where it goes. I think bringing in hardware is always a good step to more mainstream adoption of you know, the technology itself. I think at the current point, there are still limitations that we see with the Solana network and transactions and building on it that we'll really have to see if those can kind of become overcome for the development of the phone. I think bringing it on as a platform as a whole is going to be great for developers to kind of find their niche right now, because right, you've got primarily software developers, full stack web developers doing work on Solana. But I think once you bring in these phones, now you're going to have people who are in different sectors of the space getting more and more interested. The one thing that I am really interested in with the Solana phone, and I think you guys touched upon it with kind of the Sol wallet addresses, the .sol kind of thing, is, and this is kind of a gap I've seen with Solana and something I've bounced back and forth, but it's kind of the idea of a messaging, you know, a decentralized messaging platform using Solana and the Solana transaction speeds. And it's something that it could be very beneficial to a whole lot of users and people in, you know, countries with international messaging and things like that, and even kind of getting through you know, some kind of firewalls and things like that, that we could see more movement towards moving away from phone numbers. I don't know if the U.S. guys are familiar, but texting on SMS via phone number is kind of limited to a few countries in terms of the widespread use. I know in Europe, they use, I think, WhatsApp more.
It's all WhatsApp. It's all WhatsApp.
In China, it's primarily WeChat. And so these platforms are kind of decentralized messaging, SMS platforms. And so I think we're going to see a potential space to be filled with a, if someone can get a functioning, easy to use, and scalable, of course, platform using Solana and Solana Phone to send text on chain. And of course, there's anonymity kind of concerns with that. But I think, it's an interesting thing to think about.
I like the theory there. I think I really like the comparison to things like, even if you look in Korea with Line and then WeChat, and then even everything else that's going on from that, whether you even look at like a Telegram, all those functionalities would be massive if I could send a text like a dot soul or something. We got a few hands up. MMM, great to meet you at NFT NYC. Excited to kind of hear your thoughts.
Yo, dude, it was sick to meet you as well. Thanks for having me up. I'm actually pretty excited about the Solana phone. Like, I'm definitely biased, as probably most people on this stage are, because we all love Solana. But I think what has really been revealed over the past few days is the phone itself is less of like a bet on the phone being successful and more a bet on the pressure and the momentum created by Solana launching this phone, leading other major tech companies to possibly roll out their own competition. And so that helps increase adoption across the whole space. And so I think from that perspective, it's really bullish for just crypto as a space as a whole. And hopefully down the road will lead to a lot more users to using crypto, not just through the Solana phone, but through the whole SMS stack that they're building out. The other thing that I was going to say is I just think that Anatoly has kind of shown his colors over the past few weeks in terms of he's basically keeps saying that, if there's a better solution to crypto than Solana, he was like, I would use that solution, And I think, like, from my own perspective as a Solana holder, that's really bullish, because that means that he's going to keep identifying areas where there's kind of a opening for Solana to build and really build into and fill and attract users that way. So overall, I think it's an awesome announcement. I mean, it is hardware, like everyone says, so who knows if they have the experience to do that, and it could flop, but I think it points to a lot more liquidity coming into the space and a lot more user growth in the years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly right on board there with you, with a lot of what you were saying around that. I think the big thing is the new adoption, new growth that it could bring just for crypto as a whole. If this gets any traction, and there are going to be spin-offs, I think we could even see specific chains that are focused on telephony and things like that, that longer term could pick up speed if there's any interest in the phone. Zoli, what's going on? And then we'll hit Cantor real quick. Zoli, what's up?
Hey there. Yeah, so I think it's actually a very good step. It's definitely a step in the right direction for crypto in general. The only issue I'm worried about is just because Solana, we all know what its issues are in terms of handling different volumes. We've seen that
countless times. Solana has issues?
Yeah.
Huh. Who'd have thought?
No. Are you being sarcastic right now?
Absolutely.
I just got offended.
So the thing is I love Solana, right? But what I really want is, because right now we're in a bear market, I really want them to build the network itself, because when we go back into a bull market, we're going to have a lot more influx of new users, right? And I don't want them to shift their focus. That's the only thing I'm worried about. If they're focusing more on the phone and not on the network, we're going to have another issue, right?
No, I mean, to be fair, the last couple weeks have been pretty nice. We haven't had any issues. Transactions are faster.
Slon is rapid. Jesus. We've been doing more volume than a lot of ETH, and in quick time. At the moment, I mean, I think we're doing more volume than we've ever done before. Is that right? So, I mean, like, you know, we could do 100 million a day, something like that.
We're down to like 70 right now. But yeah, I think only some 70. Of that comes from the boredom that's setting in with all these copy paste projects.
Yeah, I mean, the network's still, still in, its infancy. I mean, if you look at like the improvements that are being made, we did have congestion issues, but we just seem to be like improving at a rapid rate now. Touch wood, so I don't want to jinx it, but I don't know, the network looks strong to me going forward.
Well, we just had the quick update rollout, which updated validators to be able to process speeds in a more improved way from a very 10,000 foot understanding that I have of it. But I mean, a lot of people's comments after the quick update was like, Magic Eden seems to be operating faster, and that was clearly from the chain underlying. That wasn't like the blockchain doesn't just randomly increase speed. So I mean, it's clear that they keep building and doing things on this. And I think it was Scotty or MMM who just brought it up. I believe it was MMM that totally actually said, if there was a better blockchain, I'd be building on it. So like, if somebody's that bullish, that's that much more intelligent than I am, and you have somebody like SBF who's putting literal billions of dollars into Solana itself, they got way more money and way more brain cells than me, so I'm happy to tail right behind them. Cantor, what's happening?
Yeah, I was just curious. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think Eminem brought up a couple things, and some other individuals were bringing up possibly, you know, privacy in regards to phone numbers and things like that. Do you think Solana would probably brand this as more of a private-centric phone? Because I know Apple's big thing right now is privacy. And then on top of that as well, do you think Solana would only get involved in hardware, or do you think they would also get involved in some type of VOIP service, in a sense, utilizing the blockchain?
So I think that's where there's a lot of kind of skepticism and speculation right now, is how are they fully going to bring this on board? Is it going to be an Android phone in which you have to port your service into and then leverage, or is this going to be an approach in which they do have a VoIP and something even like a Google Fiber competitor that uses the chain? That would be crazy. I really have no idea. I'm sadly not as in-depth into that knowledge, you know, but I like the idea and the sound of it.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say quickly before I might give up my spot to let someone else up here just because I'm driving and it's probably not safe for me to be doing this. But the one thing I was going to ask is, by any chance, do we know if they're starting to possibly poach developers from other major companies like Apple or Google or Amazon or anything else like that? Or is it all going to be in-house?
It seems like that's still a lot of speculation at the moment. We're not really sure who they're hiring, what that looks like. I mean, this just got announced, I believe it was at Barcelona a few days ago at this point. So this is still very, very new. I think we will start to see a lot more news and events driven off of it in the next couple weeks, if not month. MMM, what's happening?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the other thing that is cool, it kind of gets to the thing that Cantor was just saying, is, I mean, like, Anatoly even tweeted this the other day. Like, he was like, well, imagine if you could just put in like a Helium 5G chip into the phone, right? And that's like the type of cool decentralized innovations that we might see down the road in terms of the phone. And I don't know, it's just type of stuff that makes me really bullish on how they're thinking about the space and how the space grows. It seems like most people, like, people are really critical of Solana because they look at Solana and they say, oh, they're all focused on user growth without having the underlying tech working. But the reality, the fact is like, if you look at how Ethereum grew, it was first to market. The tech wasn't really working. It wasn't scaled. It still hasn't scaled. But they were able to get a lot of user growth, and so they got a lot of volume and liquidity. And I think that's exactly at how Solana is looking at developing the market and why it could be so effective. Because not only are they not the only one of the only non-EVM chains with users, but they're also one of the only chains that actually has significant user growth that's going to stay around.
No, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that. I know we only got about 5 minutes left here, so I did kind of want to open up the floor a little bit, hear what people are looking at, what people are trading, what people feel about the market. I know we've seen a lot of Launch My NFTs taking off today. I was looking at volume, and it's all just garbage in the top 10 at the moment, sadly. A Cubist knockoff that appears to be just worse art called Pick a Soul is up to 0.65 from a 0.04 mint price. And the other top five in the last hour are all degenerate mints, with the exception of 2105 Voyagers, who had an AMA today. Definitely eager to hear what some people think about that and what you might be looking at. Running Man, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in sort of like a transitional meta phase at the moment. We've just come out of art mints. I mean, 10K collections, pretty much fatigued now. And we're going to be looking at someone else coming in there, a new Vogue, but it's not quite here yet. So I've got my eyes peeled on upcoming projects and what sort of that got on the horizon. And from a trading standpoint, I mean, basically, I'm just main focus is on projects that have got steady volume and sniping rarity and recirculating them back into, you know, just for slight gains. And looking for, because obviously the trading in the volume isn't there to trade, I'm looking for projects that I'm about to take off. They've got stuff in the pipeline, sniping rarity and holding and building up conviction on those floors, that I'm sort of like low risk, because I'm pretty much on the low at the moment, looking for moves upwards when they actually release. I mean, projects like Mouse in the House, you know, it's low. It's, I know they've got stuff in the pipeline. Just taking what gets dumped, recirculating it with a view to delist if ever, you know, the move comes upwards. Otherwise, I'll just keep recirculating rarity and generating soul. That's the play at the moment. But as I say, we're looking for new metas coming up. Not sure what it is yet, but I'm sure they'll surface eventually.
I think we'll start seeing something picking up speed. Benny, what's going on?
I just wanted to say that volume's like kind of been dead recently, and that's definitely due to the NFT NYC. So I just think the mints that are coming out tomorrow are going to do better than normal, and that's solely because the market's sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, I posted yesterday, volume was at 78K. Today it's at 58, and that's like almost half the total volume that we're used to seeing. So this is kind of a concern just from the market standpoint, I think
it's down to the quality of the projects as well. I mean, if you look at what the volume is today, it's probably like 2 or 3 weeks since the crash on the price of Sol. You know, if you're looking to launch a project, you know, this is not the time to launch one if you're going to take a shot at launching the project. And I think a lot of projects are holding back. And I think we've seen that lull from the recent downturn on the price of Sol, to be honest. And, you know, I'm not sure when it resurfaces, but I'm looking like 4 or 5 weeks in front to see what's starting to appear and the quality there, and start heading towards that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest way to do this right now. Like, now's probably the best time to, when they say do your own research, actually look into stuff and figure out where some things may be going, what projects are actively building with announcements, and kind of just play only catalysts at the moment. I don't think minting everything in this market is even a feasible idea. We've seen multiple mints cut their supply day after day, and that's honestly a big concern for me, because it seems like nobody's comfortable even waiting 24 hours to see if they sell out. They'd rather cut supply in the first hour. Usually not the best market sign, usually not the best project sign, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the stage as well where projects are going to start bringing in some time to utility straight out the gate, or even pre-mint. I think the market's wising up to, like, you know, people promising the world and then drawing like a chunk of change and not actually producing anything for months. I think projects have got to start showing pre-mint what that can do, and, you know, ready
we're
to launch straight
to
after.
Like, yeah. I am excited for like a Rugged Remnants. They brought up their gameplay before. They're doing some interesting stuff. I'm not terribly bullish, but I do think we start to see, like, even Pang Soul teased a bunch of stuff beforehand product-wise. So that's hopefully the next thing. We start to actually get some deliverables before we buy it.
Well, projects can do this. It's just that we haven't actually put out, you know, we haven't actually stood our ground and actually commanded this off projects. And I think that's when we're starting to do it now. And, you know, if they want to feasibly get a mint art for a high amount of salt, they've got to put the work in first. And they've got to galvanize a community. And they've got to do everything that's required in order to launch a project in the right way for us to invest in it. And we're not going to let them off the hook anymore, in my personal opinion.
No, and speaking of, we're going to wrap that here. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Be on the lookout for AMAs by Alex for upcoming projects. Shout out to Grill House, letting us figure out what we should be looking into. I love what's happening there. Alex, real quick, I'll let you get a word in. What's going on? All right, no word. We love it. Shout out to all the speakers. We're back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time.